Bump me down just a little bit, brother. The Lord started to work down there in Alabama, and been talking to our kids about fighting the good fight and standing in the for God in this old wicked, evil generation. Man, I'm telling you what, it's a mess we're in, brother. It's a mess we're in. And wicked perversion going on. Everywhere you turn, you can't turn on the TV without having some kind of same-sex marriage or something going on, man. And our kids are forced to hear that stuff every day at school. And I was talking to them, you know, I was talking about the King of all glory. Talking about the King of all glory this morning. And I told them, you know, we have an opportunity to represent that King. And I was talking about the Knights of the Round Table. We can be a soldier for him. And how that knight, how that man would come and he would kneel down before the King. And the King would come and take that sword and lay it on that young man, that young man's shoulder. And each one of y'all in here, look, we got an opportunity. And they'd put that breastplate on and they'd represent the King. That's what we got to do today. That's what we got to do. And I want our kids to know that they're born to serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
They're born to serve. I'm glad I found out when I was 15 years old what my life really meant. Amen? That's what I was put here to do. Amen? To serve Him. That's what you was put here to do too. Amen?
Sang that song when I was about that high, running around the house, stuck in my heart, and I didn't hear it no more after I got saved. It'll be 3 years in a few weeks since Mom went home to be with the Lord. I'm so thankful, Brother Jason, y'all, and that we still sing songs that touch the heart. I'm glad we don't have... I'm not trying to be ugly or nothing, but I'm glad we've got the right kind of songs in our church. Amen. This rock and roll stuff in the church and you feel good, just that won't touch your heart like you was born to serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. This, when you come to church, it's not a spiritual American Idol. No, it's not a talent show. I've been a lot of places and like one get up and perform, doesn't get up and perform, doesn't get up and perform. It's about sickening. Thank God for people. Like old-fashioned singing that comes from the heart in the Spirit of God. We ought to thank the Lord for that. That prepares your heart for the preaching of the Word of God. Now this morning I want you to take your Bibles, and I'm going to ask you to keep your Bibles out with me. If you know, sometimes you just look at one verse and set it down beside you, hold it in your lap. I'll turn to several verses of Scripture this morning, starting with Galatians chapter 2. This came up in our study the other night, and was almost to it, and it, honest to goodness, has been on my heart all weekend, and I want to bring a message on this subject this morning. Never, ever before have I preached on this subject. Mentioned it, but never before preached on it. And I want to show you what the Bible says about it. Here in Galatians chapter 2, we've been studying how the Apostle Paul was saved. 14 years went up in the wilderness out there in verse 1. False brethren, verse 4. We got into this Wednesday night. You missed it. If you missed the Wednesday night Bible study, you're really getting behind it. It's getting better and better. But come to this verse, and we didn't get to it last week, but I want to preach on it this morning. Verse 10. Galatians 2 and verse 10. Only they would that we should remember the poor. Isn't that something? And all that doctrine about circumcision and uncircumcision and the Bible and the gospel, right in the middle of it, he said we should remember the poor. The same which I also was forward you again. Now, if you want to get in the doctrine, you'd be here Wednesday night. We got into it heavy and hard about that circumcision business and about predestination and about Calvinism and about salvation and the free gift and about his apostleship and Judaism and those that were trying to teach them that can be justified by the law and other means by baptism and so forth and so on. But right in the middle of it, he gives you something practical and said, in all this stuff, we should remember the poor. I want to preach a message about that this morning. Remember the poor. He's saying, don't forget about people who are less fortunate than you are. Don't forget about people who need help. Don't forget about people who are a little down and out. Don't get so high on your high horse that you forget about people who are having it hard. I studied a little bit about it this week, and I've got some very, very scattered thoughts. And I thought about people's power bill. Some folks don't care what their power bill is. You think this one, last one was bad, you wait till next month. That's when the big one's coming. The groundhog saw his shadow this morning. That means 6 more weeks of what we're having. I don't know if that's true or not. It's probably going to be that way whether he sees it or not. But anyway, they said it was like a miracle. The sun come out right when they brought the groundhog out at 7 o'clock this morning, and he saw his shadow. And his name is, what do they call that little dude? Phil, something like that? Yeah, something like that. Somewhere up in Pennsylvania or somewhere. Anyway, there's been 6 more weeks. That's the middle of March. Now, I kind of think that it'll start getting nice in the middle of March if a groundhog died yesterday of a heart attack. But anyway, they're saying 6 more weeks of bad weather. Now, to a lot of people, that's bad news. People that struggle. People that go live from paycheck to paycheck. There's a movement going on in our country today to get rid of the poor. It's called redistribution of the wealth. And that means if we give everybody the same amount of money, there won't be no poor people no more. That is against the Bible, and it will never happen. Even if they try it, it will never happen. I can take the Bible this morning and prove to you that there will be people that are poor when the Antichrist has the mark of the beast on the earth. Rich and poor, free and bond, will take the mark of the beast. There will be poor people and rich people right on to the very end. Let's get a couple of verses right quick to get our feet on solid ground here. Just a minute, if you don't mind. First of all, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy 15. I usually don't have you turn to verses like this. It's more like a study just for a minute. Look here at verse Deuteronomy 15 and verse number 11. Deuteronomy number 5. D-U-E-T. Deuce 5. Fifth book in the Bible. And look at chapter 15 and verse 11. It said, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Look at it, Deuteronomy 15:11. The poor shall never cease out of the land. There will always be those that are poor. Look at the rest of the verse. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide to thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in the land. That God said, you got something in your hand? Open it wide to the poor. That is exactly why we run those buses out there. We run those buses because most of those kids, we've had 150, something of them today, 114 of them today, and they would not be in church if we didn't open our hands and put gas in those buses, $4 a gallon, and pay the insurance on them, and the tires. We got some right now that's slickering the top of this pulpit. And we do that because God said we're to open our hand to the poor. Let me show you another one, New Testament. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew, in the New Testament, you want to see this reinforced here just a minute? Matthew chapter 26, and let me show you what the Bible said. There will never be a time when everybody in the world is equal. Never, it never has happened, and it never will. Look at Matthew 26 and verse number 11. Matthew 26:11, the words of Jesus Christ. He said this, for ye have the poor always with you. Always, always, always. But me ye have not always. Now, I will say this by way of introduction so you will know where I'm coming from. We are living in a time in this country. It's not this way in every country. But we are living in a time in this country when it's extremely hard to practice that verse. It really is. The Bible said we're supposed to open our hand to those that are poor. The Lord said one time, give to him that asks you and stuff like that. We're living in a time in America when it's hard to practice that. Because there's so many con men out there and con women, and you don't know. I mean, they're out there. You know, I had a boy and girl sitting there on the sidewalk one time, and they had a sign said, need money for pot. And they were sitting there, healthy as I am, wanting us to give them money to go buy drugs with. Now, somebody like that, does the Lord want me to stop and give them $10? No. And I didn't. So, and sometimes you get took advantage of. I had a friend of mine tell me, Not long ago, he told me he's on drugs. He got off drugs. And he said, me and my brother, he said, we was in Asheville. He said, we would go out to Walmart or a nice convenience store where there's a lot of business. And we'd go up, we'd just run up to people and we'd say, look, my car's broke down up the road. They didn't have a car. My car's broke down right up here and I got a sick kid. We've got to get him to the doctor. Can you please help me? He said, we made $700 in one evening. Doing that. And so there are people like that. There are cons everywhere. I've had a lot of times a guy say, we'll have work for food. And I pulled over and I said, I got a ditch. You can come and dig me up. And he just looked the other way. There are cons. But that does not mean that we should not help people who really need help. And you just have to pray. I pray, say, Lord, you want me to help them? And then sometimes I do help people. Sometimes I give people money, and people say, you're crazy. Maybe I am, but I'd rather err on the side of giving than err on the side of being stingy and not obey God. Even if they do abuse it, then God's still going to bless me for giving with the right heart, right? I know a lot of people who don't support missionaries. Down this higher, brother. A lot of people won't support missionaries because, I heard that missionary turned out to be a crook and he stole the church money. That does not relieve me and you of our responsibility of helping missionaries that are right just because one turned out to be a crook. Well, a preacher might turn out to be a crook and take off with the money or something. That happens. But that don't have, I'm never going to give to another church again. No, no, no. We're going to give God. I'm going to put my money in that offering plate, and I'm going to help people. And we're going to, I don't care if somebody stole half of it. I'm still going to do it because God said that I am supposed to open my hand to the poor. Now, somebody said this one time. They said, being poor is a problem. But being rich ain't the answer. That's right. There's a verse in the Bible that tells us where we need to stay. Job said in Job 29 and verse 16, he said, I was a father to the poor. I was a father to the poor. Proverbs 22 and verse 2 said, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is he's the judge of them all. The rich and the poor meet together, and the Lord is the judge of them all. I did a little study the other day, and I found out that there's been so many thousand what they call great people on this earth. People that have influenced the world. People that have made a difference in life. People like Abraham Lincoln. People like that. And they say that 80% of them come up poor. 80% of the great people in this world was poor. There's something about having it rough that'll make something out of you that having it easy don't make out of you. If you've ever had to do without, if you've ever had to come up hard, if you've ever had, listen, it's hard, but you ought to thank God for it. It's made you the person that you are today. And one of the things that we're making a mistake in our generation is kids are coming up now don't want for nothing. And that's very, very bad for them. They said Abraham Lincoln come up in that log cabin. No, Abraham Lincoln, he grew up hard in a log cabin in Kentucky or whatever, you know, and all that stuff. And I don't agree with everything Abraham Lincoln did or done by no means. But he was an influential man. And they said that. Do you know why Abraham Lincoln's face is on a penny? And it ain't on a quarter, and it ain't on a dime, and it ain't on a dollar bill? Because the man who designed the penny knew that Abraham Lincoln grew up hard and grew up poor. And Abraham Lincoln is the man who made that famous statement, the Lord must love poor people, because he sure made a lot of them. He made that statement, the Lord must love poor people, because he sure made a lot of them, or common people. And you know what? They put Abraham Lincoln's penny, because there's more pennies than there are anything else. There's more pennies than there are dimes. There's more pennies than there are nickels. There's more pennies. There's more. You know what me and you are in here today? We're pennies. Amen? The Lord must love us because he made a lot of us. We're just old pennies in the world currency. I mean, the bankers, I hear people talking about the stock market and the Dow. I don't even know what the Dow is, brother. D-O does sound like down. I mean, you might, and I'm praise God if you are, we need the help. But I don't even know what it is. Don't want to know. I tell you something, brother, God must love common people because he sure made a lot of them. Well, anyway, old Abraham Lincoln, he grew up, you know, and he done this and that and the other. But the Bible said that it makes it hard. Sometimes it makes it hard. I remember talking about somebody about work, and they said, man, I worked all week. Did you know that the Bible, and I'm going to say something before I say this, There is no reason, listen to me carefully, there is no reason why a healthy man in America has to stay broke. Amen. Don't take that out of context. Don't change what I said. There's no reason in America why a healthy man in America should starve to death. In this country, you can make it if you're healthy. You may be broke. I've been broke. I know what it's like to be broke. I believe God let me run. When I was 19, don't complain about having to work 5 days a week. God said, thou shalt work 6 days a week. The command to work 6 days is just as strong as the command to rest one day. Years ago, there wasn't no such thing as a 5 day week. It was a 6 day week, and you rested on Sunday. When I first started working, you know what I did? I would work down here at what they call it Highlander and Morgan. We run a knitting mill. And I got a job. My daddy told me. I mean, like I said, he said, you ain't going to college. I took some classes over at McDowell Tech. And I wanted to be a basketball coach. And I didn't want to be no stupid coach. Who wants to be a coach? I want to play. And I was too little. And I wanted to play. And I said, I said, I'm going to wait and decide. He said, well, you go down there and get you a job. My daddy told me, he said, you go down there and get you a job, and you can make, I forgot what he told me, so much every 2 weeks. And I went down there, and I got a job, and I started working it when I was 18. I got out of high school when I was 17. And I went and got a job, got saved, got called to preach while I was working there. And they let us work, and they would let us come in and work double. And I'd go into work at 3 o'clock in the evening and work till 7 o'clock the next morning. So he'd work 2 shifts. I got to where I was liking that because they'd pay you time and a half for overtime, double time on the weekends. And I thought, Lord have mercy, I can make some money doing this. I'd go to work at 3 o'clock in the evening. We'd work till 7 o'clock the next morning. I'd get home at 8 o'clock, go to bed, get up at 12:30 or 1, and go back and do it again. You can't do that every day because you're only getting 5 hours sleep. But I remember doing that and doing that. Tell you what it'll do, it'll keep you out of trouble. You ain't got time to sin. You look at people getting in trouble all the time. They're laying around doing nothing. Idle mind is what? Devil's workshop. And boy, I tell you what, my daddy thought if you didn't work 60 hours a week, you was lazy. That's what he said. And I'm telling you, listen, I went to work, and then I was like Billy Kelly. They said, how did you know you were called to preach? Woke up one morning, didn't want to go to work, craving chicken. That's not true. You know how I knew I was called to preach? Because I'd go down through there on them knitting meals on the third shift and the second shift. Daddy said the second shift is the best shift to work because you save money. Everybody hates second shift, but you save your money on second. You don't get up till late, and then you get ready to go to work, and you ain't got time to go nowhere and spend it. Right? Third shift is a nightmare. Lord have mercy. I'd go Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and then I'd be off Friday night and couldn't sleep because you've been up every night. And then Saturday night you finally sleep, and you have to go back in and work Sunday night, and you about die. And I go down and I put those things on there like this, and I'm putting these little clips on this knitting machine, and I was going down through there like this. I was 19 years old. And I thought, well, my Lord, we didn't know we're tired. I heard one of them boys say they're tired, and I didn't know what tired meant. Well, I was 40. I felt tired. What does that feel like? I still don't know if I know what it feels like. But listen, brother, we work. And I went down through there and I was like this, and I could see big crowds of people. And I was just blessing them out. And I said, boy, that'd be good to say. That'd be good to say. Why don't somebody preach on that? Man, so won't somebody preach on that? Man, that'd be a good verse. And finally the Lord said, why don't you do it? And I said, I don't know if I can do that or not. Every once in a while I meet somebody who says, all you preachers got it made. You don't work but one day. Well, if it's that great and you make all this money, why don't y'all start your church and let's see you get rich and try it one time. I'd like to see how many people you could get to come hear you. We might be surprised, mightn't we? But anyway, I'm off subject there a little bit. But the Bible said, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10, that we are as poor yet making many rich. Amen. He said, for our sakes, he became poor. The Lord was rich in heaven. He's poor on this earth so that me and you might have riches in Christ. That's what true riches are. The Lord told this man in Luke chapter 18, verse 22, one time, he said, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Are you kidding me? Everybody have to do that? No, you don't. But God bless that man. I heard Hillary Clinton say the other day, you ain't going to like me for this, but I'm getting ready to prophesy. She's going to be the next president. If God don't stop her some way, she's going to be the president. Just remember me telling you. I hope and pray I'm wrong. I hope and pray I'm wrong. But I usually ain't. It's against the law. She's done been president 8 years. But they finagled a way around it where she gets to be president again. If she got it twice, it'd be 16 years in the White House. And she said, the other day, they had her on TV. Some of y'all look at me like, I never heard a preacher talk like this. I'm opening your eyes this morning. You're enlightened. You're getting enlightened here today. You're learning. You're sitting there soaking this in. You're learning. You want to tell you something this morning? She said on TV the other day, they asked her about driving, and she got a speeding ticket or something like that. And she said, man, she said, I haven't drove a car since 1996. It's been 14 years since she drove a car. 18 years, right? 18 years since she drove a car. She has not drove a car. You imagine, take me here. Take me there. Take me. I don't know if I'd like, I don't want to like it. I want to drive. I don't want to like hauling me around like I'm handicapped or something. But she ain't drove a car. It ain't no wonder them people don't care how high gas gets. They're out of touch with reality. Everybody who runs for president ought to have to come to live in South Carolina and work in cotton mill for a few years. Really? They're out of touch. Why do they care how much gas is? I mean, listen, people. The best leaders, the best. I thought about some of you in here, how hard you worked. I thought about Todd. Todd started out, I remember, started out several years ago, that one little bitty bulldozer he had. Little old bitty bulldozer. And I mean that thing, I don't know if it could push that pew right there around. He's done a motorcycle track. And then the Lord bless him. You know why he doesn't? He works. A lot of some of you men in here, you work. Thank God for it. Listen, you should never be ashamed of your job if you've got a job. Care, brother, if you work for digging a ditch for a living, be proud of it and thank God for it. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of working. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of being poor. Being poor ain't nothing to be ashamed of. I went to church when I first started preaching up there in the mountains, and them old boys come out, and they had on overalls and a pressed white shirt. That was their Sunday best. I mean, them shirts, you can see the crease in them like that, and them overalls been pressed, and they'd stand up there in the choir like that right there. And I'm telling you, buddy, they had them shoes shine, and I mean they spit shine them shoes and iron them white shirt, and buddy, they'd stand up there. That was their Sunday best. If you're working hard and you wear your best to the house of God and you honor, they ain't one bit of shame in this world about being poor. Hurry on that Hollywood crowd that thinks everybody's got to drive a Lamborghini. Poor little old Justin Bieber, that poor little fella don't even know he's out of touch with. They say he needs psychotherapy. No, he needs two things. He needs Jesus and to give us his tithes. God would bless him. Now, let me just say a couple things right quick. Heard about that guy standing down there? And he's going, alms for the blind. Alms for the blind. Alms for the blind. And the guy walked by and said, here you go, buddy. Give me $20. He said, oh, $20. Thank you. He said, how'd you know that's $20? You ain't blind. He said, well, I'm not really. I'm standing in for the blind man that always stands here on the corner. I'm taking his place. He's got the day off. I said, where's he at? He's gone to the movies. That is not the kind of poor I'm referring to this morning. Let me tell you what a great man said one time, and this is what our government needs to hear. You cannot strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. You cannot help the wage earner by pulling down the wage payer. You cannot help the poor by destroying the rich. You cannot help men permanently by doing for them what they could do and should do for themselves. That's fact. I remember doing that a little bit. Not too bad. My daddy made sure we had what we wasn't. When I went to school, I sure wasn't the best dressed kid in school, but I wasn't the worst. And if your parents work hard, and they give you the best they can, you thank God for where He's put you in life. And don't envy people that's got more than you do. God can change it. He can change it. But if He decides to leave you right where you're at, thank God for what you've got. You know why? Because one of these days, you know what the Lord told that church over in Revelation chapter 3? He said, thou art rich and increased with good, but you don't realize you're miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Listen, what really matters is spiritual wealth. These clothes, my house may not look like a castle, my clothes may be like an style. You've heard that song. But oh, as you could see, that makes me a king. Brother, it's inside. Treasures unseen. There's been times when I've had to go somewhere and I didn't know if I had enough gas to get there or get back. But I was so happy inside, I thought I was going to blow up. Disney World couldn't have made me as happy and as satisfied as I was. Listen, that worldly thing. If you've got worldly possessions, hallelujah, more power to you. But thank God, joy comes from the Lord and being right with Him in real riches. Listen, if your family's saved, and you all are all on your way to heaven and you're healthy, you're a rich person. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. Great gain. Heard about that guy, that baseball player, got a $225 million contract for so many years. You know what that comes out to be? $10,000 a pitch, brother. Every time he throws that ball, $10,000. You say, I'd take that job for a while. But he's kidding himself if he thinks that's going to make him happy. And don't do it. Riches make themselves wings. Like that one fellow said, he said, money talks, mine says bye-bye. I can't imagine how much money's been spent on that ball game tonight. There's no telling. On a ball game. You know what it means? Nothing. It means absolutely nothing to God. You're a whole lot better to lay up treasures in heaven where moth can't corrupt and where thieves can't break through and steal. You're going to live in a house one of these days that'll make Biltmore House look sick. And we're going to walk on gold streets. My mom never had a new car. I don't think mom ever, probably she ever went home to Florida, and we took her one time. Me and Carrie and all of us took her to Disney World one time. That's probably she ever went away from home. Never. She did get to see her sister one time. She never had stuff. My daddy never owned a new car. Never. Not once in his life. You know what? Right now, they can walk on gold, solid gold streets forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So I hope everybody in here gets rich and becomes a millionaire and does right. I really do. There's nothing wrong with that. Praise God for you. You ought to. But you can't keep it. And what's really going to matter is if you got ready to go up there. If you're ready to meet the Lord, if you're living right, that's what's important. And let's all remember the poor. Like me, I was trying to raise this money to get her a car. I'm telling you, it might be me has to have a car one of these days. You've heard me tell. I had an old van one time. That thing wouldn't start. And I had to preach almost in Charlotte. I was about 20 years old. 21 maybe. I think she was just a baby. Van wouldn't start. Pipes froze under the house. Busted. No water. Couldn't take a shower. And my van wouldn't start, and I was out there pushing it in the snow. My hands was froze, and I borrowed $5 from my neighbor to put gas in it to come to Charlotte and preach him back. And I was crying and everything. Listen, buddy, that was good for me. That was good for me. It wasn't fun, but it was good for me. It made me appreciate God's blessings on my life. And I mean, we wasn't bad off. I remember taking a blanket, had a little Siegler oil heater, and I took a blanket and hung it up over the kitchen. You ever hung a blanket up over one of the rooms so you wouldn't have to heat it? So all the room, anybody ever done that? Raise your hand, okay, there's a few in here. And I went in the kitchen, brother, and there's cornbread laying there and ice around it in the plate in the kitchen. That don't hurt you. Hard times ain't going to hurt you if you live right and do right. God will bless you. Remember the poor. Remember, help people once in a while. Help these bus workers out. If God's blessed you, help people. And He'll bless you even more. Let's stand by our heads of prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed.